Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
So, I want to ask you a question. Now, normally this is my spot to say some preaching, but actually, we're going to do, at the beginning, something slightly different this week. It's your turn. Yeah. So, I have over here, not such high tech this week, because it gets boring, you know, PowerPoint, television screens all the time. So how about a good bit of old-fashioned notepaper? Yeah. Right. So if I write on my screen over there, it appears over here. Is that right? So I want us to consider a question. Now, this is not a trick question, okay? Don't think, oh, he's tricking us. He's going to come up with something super special. It's not at all. I'm not trying to catch anybody out. And there'll be a whole variety of things. But in a minute, once you've got the question, let's mess all the chairs up in the room. They don't really need to be in rows anyway, do they? Let's face it. It just looks neat. So mess all the rows up and turn into groups of about four. About four would be a good number. It might be good to mix yourself up so you're not just with somebody that you usually chat to. So husbands and wives, this is a good time for you to be together. No, I meant that the other way around. But yeah, so don't just get together with your friends, you know, try and be in some mixed groups. And I want you to consider this question. And as a group, come up with, and this could be quite hard because there's going to be four of you and you've got to get a consensus. I want you to come up with one or two sentences that answers this question. And I will actually ask some groups around the room. I don't know if you could grab a roving mic. Who could I grab to do that? I'll do that later. But Dan, if you could have a roving mic ready for somebody to take round, a couple maybe, one on each side, and then I'll grab a couple of volunteers. This is full on sort of old tech. It's even slightly wonky, isn't it? Which drives me crazy, but I will leave it. Because if I try and adjust it... Okay, let's go through this. The question is here. It's a theological question. Somewhere here, this is why I do prefer an iPad. Oh yeah, that's it, look, question mark. This must be it, okay? There you go. This is the question for this morning. It says, what is the gospel? Okay, that's it. That's the question for your study. Ready, steady, go. You've got about 10 minutes or so to talk about this. Coming up with two sentences. Hallelujah. So you've had about 5 minutes already, believe it or not. And you're aiming, yeah, you have. And so you're aiming at one or two sentences that describes what is the gospel. Okay, so try and make sure you've got something written down. Because we're going to come round some of the groups asking what your two sentences are. Don't worry about getting it right. This is not a competition. Alex... It's Ron.
This should be a first place.
Okay, let's put it together. Right. So I've got a Dave and I've got a Jossie over this side. If you two guys could stand up, David's over there. So, right. Okay. It's not bingo, so it's not eyes down, but let's go for eyes front. Now, hopefully, you didn't have very long, but hopefully you had an interesting conversation. Let's just stay roughly where you are in your groups so that you can smile together. We're not looking to say to anybody that is wrong or that is right, because the nature of this kind of question is the answer is very large, hopefully. Actually, I better not say any more, though, or I might give away some clues. So, David, just go to a group over there, and Jossie, be thinking of someone over there, and find someone in the group who will answer. Each group, try not just to pick somebody who's a leader. And we do that too much, don't we? You know, you should already have two sentences, so anybody can read two sentences out anyway, can't they, really? Right, over there, then. Who we got, Dave? If Dave and Jossie, if you hold on to the microphone and just hold it for people, because some won't be aware of how to use one. Okay, you can stop talking now. Unleashed the beast. Right, let's see what we got over here then. Dave. Tony.
Okay, what is gospel? We've got gospel is good news.
Gospel is good news. Okay, short and sweet. Okay, thank you very much. Over this side, what have we got?
Okay, we also said good news, and from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Good, using the scripture, excellent stuff. Okay, over to this group.
Said, the unquestionable truth of Jesus Christ and what he did, God's powerful way of making salvation available to everyone.
Oh, and the first shall be last. Suzanne at the back.
It's the amazingly good news of God's plan to draw us all back to him.
Absolutely. Great answer. Yeah, let's go over to Dave here.
The gospel is the good news that Jesus came to save sinners, to redeem, to bring hope, to open blind eyes, to show us the way to God through the cross.
Oh, man. You got a real preaching voice there, Andrew. Okay, over to Jossie. Donna.
I'm going to eat it.
That's an unusual sentence.
Yes, God's grace through his portrayed through his son.
God's grace portrayed through his son. Son. I thought you were being really poetic and imagery there, you know, through his song. Oh, yeah, I'm liking that poetic image. But his son is probably more biblical, yeah. Stacey.
The gospel is the recorded actions of Jesus whilst he was on earth. It's the good news of salvation to be shared with the world.
Wow, interesting. Getting it, focusing on Jesus when he's living here. Have we got some more? Yep, Dave.
We've got the story of Jesus and of salvation. And also, it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Okay, yes, that's excellent. Nobody's heard anything they're horrified by yet, I hope, because I haven't. So no heresy in the room. Over to here. Darren?
We've got it. It's a pathway to follow your truth path and a way to get back on track.
Oh, good. I like the bit about getting back on track. Excellent. Dave, you've got somebody else?
Our group was the best. It only took...
As I said to Alex, the first shall be last.
The gospel is good news for all mankind.
Yes, and ladies.
John 1:16, the power of God for salvation for those who believe.
Amen. Amen. Have we got any more? No. Jossie? Yep, excellent.
It's that Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, died for our sins and rose again so we can have life with him.
Oh, very interesting, yes. David's got someone else. Donna?
The gospel is the story of Jesus. It's the truth of God's word for our salvation. And it's what keeps us and what first drew us.
What was that, sorry?
Oh, okay.
I lost it at the end there.
The gospel is, the last bit, it's... God's word, and it's what keeps us.
Oh, keeps
and
us.
And it's what first drew us as well to God.
That's very good. Okay, is there anybody left? Yep, Lizzie?
The gospel is the good news that that we are enabled to live as Jesus did because of what he did on the cross. He crossed the divide, and the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us to be God's hands and feet to reach other people so that they can live in the good news, living before we die, not just living after we die.
Thank you. Where did you put the full stop, teacher? Two teachers in that group, yeah. I didn't say you couldn't use conjunctions and commas. A couple of semicolons, yeah. Is there anybody? Oh, yes, we've got one here.
The gospel is the good news of Jesus, is life, death and resurrection, which was God's rescue plan for mankind. That God had from the beginning. And we have a second sentence.
Okay.
The gospel is our purpose and mission to communicate to our community through words, action and deeds to see people transformed from wretch to masterpiece.
Oh, praise God. Okay, is there anybody else left? Yeah, okay, let's do the ones left. Over to Josie's side then.
It's the story of how Jesus brought us back into relationship with God.
Oh, I like that, yes.
Becoming human, teaching us about the truth of his kingdom, showing us how to live with others, and then dying in our place to enable us to be made right with God.
Amen, amen, amen.
The gospel is about the good news of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of personal relationship with the Trinity, giving access to all heavenly kingdom benefits.
Amen. Hasn't your group already had a turn? We're not doing everybody in the room. Okay. Over there, Jossie.
The gospel is God's message leading to the lasting salvation by grace, which passes all understanding.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise God. That end one, I think, is interesting. Is when the gospels or the word talks about all understanding, passing all understanding, because people think they've got to understand it all. We never will. Have we done everybody that would like to contribute? Yes? Fantastic. Thank you, Jossie and David. Right. Now, if I was now to answer that question, it would sound like my answer is the best. So I'm not going to tell you anything about what's going on in my head at the moment. I'm going to tell you what's going on in St. Paul's head. Because I think that would be a good place. Now, this is St. Paul's summary of the gospel. But I'm not saying that your answers were wrong. All the answers I heard were correct. This is a big question. This group down here said, oh, we finished. And so I said to them, well, ask what questions did you ask? Because the only way to answer this question is to ask a lot more questions about what the gospel possibly is. Why does it say gospel and not gospels? Who is the gospel? Where is the gospel even? How is the gospel? You know, you could go on asking different questions about different elements of it by using more words than just the gospel as well. So, but here's Paul. A lot of you did latch on to being good news. Yes? Do you know where the word gospel comes from? It's the Anglo-Saxon. There's a shock for you. Now, most people think it's going to be a Greek word or something like that. It's actually an old Anglo-Saxon word. Comes from the Anglo-Saxon word gospel, which you then think, oh, so that means like God's word. It doesn't actually. It just means good message or good news. So, yeah, it's Anglo-Saxon. The Greek word, because we should do a little bit of Greek before we get into what Paul writes, but this is the word that he is using. You'll recognize it probably because we use an English version of it. It's euangelion. Did you get it? Yeah. Or if you're talking about someone that brings the good news, they are euangelistes. Are you getting it now? Evangelist. Evangelism or evangelist, the same word. It's just a sort of anglicized version of the Greek word. That's the word that Paul's using. But yes, it means the same thing. It means a good message. A good messenger in the case of evangelist. So let's have a look at what Paul writes. We're going to put it on the screens as well as I read it. So it's from 1 Corinthians 15. And I won't read the whole passage. I'll just read some of it because we'll just see how far we get. But well done. It was great to hear some good conversations going on around the room. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance. So here we go. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, or Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as one abnormally born. Okay, I'll stop there, I think. Yeah, that'll do. Right. So isn't that interesting that when Paul gives a summary back to the Corinthians of what the gospel is, he really focuses on Christ who lived amongst us, Christ who died, Christ who was buried, and Christ who was raised again. And that's what actually sets the gospel apart from the Bhagavad Gita, the Quran, or any other religion, is that it's about a person who lived, who died, and was risen again. There are many other legends, but this is with Jesus, you're talking about somebody who is historically verified. He existed. In Paul's time, writing here, he's writing about 20 years later. That's all. That's not very long ago. Do you remember the Millennium Party? Do you remember everybody being worried about their computers crashing because there were bugs infesting them, the millennium bugs? Do you remember the clock ticking? I mean, I think just about everybody, with a few exceptions in this room, and you, will remember that. It's not very long ago, is it? You know, it's scary, you know, when I see things from the 1980s and think, what did I wear? But when I see things from the 1980s, it's like, that is not very long ago. But it is. That's 40 years ago. That's twice what this was. It wasn't very long ago. There are a lot of people living that would say, that's rubbish. That didn't happen. The early evangelists, if you like, were able to say all these people saw the risen Jesus and it wasn't able to be refuted. All these people would talk about Jesus. You don't get until recent times, relatively speaking, people starting to doubt that Jesus ever existed, because everybody knew he existed. The evidence was there. Even today, we've got more written evidence for Jesus Christ than Julius Caesar. Okay, he's got a few busts, but you know. We've got a few crucifixes. The evidence is overwhelming. But the crucial message of the gospel is Jesus, that he lived, that he died, and that he rose again. Let's just have a little look again at what Paul said. I'm not actually going to speak for very long today. Just look at some scriptures of what the gospel is. Because we've been talking a lot about being shamelessly audacious. And one of the things that enables you to be shamelessly audacious is you know the gospel. Because if you know the gospel, which we also we tacked into that song Amazing Grace, that you're a wretch but you're saved by amazing grace, the grace and mercy of God. That's what enables you to be shameless. Not that you shouldn't be ashamed. There are things we do we quite rightly feel ashamed of and should be ashamed of. You know, if you've been involved in things not of God this week, you can be ashamed of that until you've got to come to God and got rid of it. God, for example, it's so easy, isn't it, to just fall into tittle-tattle, gossip about somebody. God hates gossip. We should be ashamed when we've caught ourselves gossiping about another person. And sometimes people say, well, what is gossip? It's an attitude, really. You can talk about somebody in a positive way, but you know gossip is about pulling people down and spreading tales about people. God hates it. Why do people always focus on sins that not so many people commit that they don't have a trouble with? We should focus on the things that are easy to do and start cutting those out. Amen. Now, I praise God that this is an awesome church compared to many, many places. In terms of gossip, it's brilliant. Sometimes you don't find out anything that's going on whatsoever. But that's in a good way as well. But, you know, so I give thanks to God. But we hold ourselves to a higher and higher standard, don't we? We God's called us to be different to the world. I mean, I just pick on that one. There's so many things. I want to be different. But if we're going to be living with a shameless audacity, we have to know that we should be ashamed of what we do, but that we are cleansed from that shame. We don't have to carry it. It's not that we never feel ashamed. We should be ashamed of sin. But that's why we get rid of it. That's why we come to God and get it washed clean and forgiven. Okay? So we need to know the gospel. So let's have a quick look at this again. He says, I want to remind you of the gospel. And there's back in verse 1. I preached to you which you received and on which you've taken your stand. You see, this is church. It's people that will stand on the word. Because many things will come against what you believe. You're making a decision, I will stand here. There might even be some good things apparently coming against it. You think, well, hang on a minute though, I believe in God. So even though that might seem better at this moment, there must be a reason it isn't. I might not understand it right now. There are some things that we won't understand in this life because we don't have the mind of God. People have forgotten that God is mystery. I don't have all the answers. And anybody that tells you you've got all the answers, actually they're wrong. We've let go of that in order to join the scientific community. But actually, let's grab back the mystery of religion. And I deliberately use the word religion even there. Let's grab back the mystery of religion, where religion is a way of life that I am dedicated to. not legalism, a way of life that is informed by what I believe. That is who we are. I need to take a stand on it. I don't necessarily mean walking down the streets with placards. I just mean personally. No, I'm not watching that. I've been really enjoying this, but this program is going in a direction that is not helpful. It's not beneficial. I would really like to know what happens in this television program, but I'm going to turn it off because I'm going to take a stand for what I believe. You see, 20 years ago even, you didn't need to do that very often. 40 years ago, you rarely needed to do that because virtually everything on television was already okay. Today, it's not the case, is it? You know, and there's some good stuff. I mean, I did read the books, Game of Thrones. I got bored before the end. I got to, I don't know what it was, about book 5. And I did enjoy them, but there were certain pages which I just turned over. I thought, oh, I don't want to read that. You could question whether I should have been reading it in the first place, and I think that's a valid question. But when the programs came on TV, for me, I wasn't going to watch it. It's just, that's not helpful. I don't need to see that nudity on the television in my front room. That'll cause me to think stuff. I don't want to go there. I would really love to watch this. I like these books, but I'm not going to. I'm not telling everybody in this room to do exactly the same as I've done. I'm telling everybody in this room to do what you need to do. Yeah? Take a stand. People think of placards and protesting against other people's sin. How about we take a stand against our own? Yeah? So you see, you're not getting away from last week's message. All this grace, and suddenly God's led me into doing this, and it's like, oh, help, Jesus. My natural is grace. This is still grace, because it enables us to live free. Yeah? There's no law here. There's no putting people under condemnation. Remember Brian on the stage last week, if you forget everything else. If you weren't here last week, listen to that message from last week online. I think it was a key one. It's called A New Car. It doesn't sound like a key by the title. A New Car. It was a key message for us. Back to what Paul's writing here. Oh, the verse 2. This is Paul writing. This is Paul, our great revealer of grace. Did you know this week, actually on Halloween, it was the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther knocking his 96 theses or 96 statements on the door at Wittenberg. It was the beginning of what became known as the Reformation in the church. And one of the key things that Luther hated was that in those days in the Catholic Church, there were many abuses of power. And people could pay money to say that they were forgiven, for example. Great fundraising scheme. You know, in some churches, you'd raise billions, wouldn't you? But here, nothing. But that was one of the things. But there were many things. But one of his great rediscoveries was Paul's writing about grace in Romans. Now, if Paul is grace, 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 this next verse, verse 2, it's like, oh, by this gospel that he's talking about, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Whoa. Paul's actually saying, you've got to take a stand. You've got to hold firmly to the word. You can't just go off and do your own thing. Otherwise, everything you believe is a waste of time. I'll let you go wherever you want to go with that from there. But it's quite clear what he actually writes there. There's no hidden message in the Greek. That's a very plain English translation of what it says in the Greek. You don't need to go into the Greek. It just says that. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Let's read on. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance. So Paul's first importance with the gospel. This doesn't mean this is the first importance when you're trying to communicate to somebody about Jesus Christ. Sometimes people get confused about that. If you're meeting somebody in the street or, you know, you're talking to friends, this is not probably the first gospel message you're going to give them because they're looking to see if you're different. The first gospel message you preach is what you are like. How often do you swear? Do you lie to them? Do you cheat with them? Have you got drunk with them? Have you, you know, all of that was preaching a gospel. What gospel are we preaching to our neighbours and our friends and our work colleagues and everybody else is actually how we live. And it's like, oh, wow. But of course, it's grace that will enable us to live. It's not that we won't sin. I think we will. It's not that we won't make mistakes. I think we will. But we won't allow those mistakes to stand. Amen. It's not that we will get angry with people and we won't forgive them. We'll have to sometimes work through to get to that place of forgiveness. But by the grace of God, we want to be there. Because we don't want to be like the world. We want to be those different people. This church is growing. This church is growing by the grace of God. There are more and more people starting to become part of it, and that is exciting. But we need, as people come in, we want them to join a community of Jesus people. A people who know they're saved by grace, and without grace they're a wretch. So there's no pride in our own ability. There's no pride in our success, because our success comes through grace anyway. Let's go back to this. So of first importance, so the underscoring, the foundation of the gospel is this, that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. So he's really, when he's talking about scriptures, he's referring, of course, to the what we now call the Old Testament. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and he talks about all of the appearances. In other words, the evidence of his resurrection. He was buried, he was raised, and he appeared to people. Incredible. That's the essential, says Paul. First of all, you've got to know that he died for your sins. He says, well, really? Is that? Yeah, because without that, nothing else matters. If he didn't die for our sins, everything we believe is in vain. Somebody had to do that. Somebody had to be that ultimate sacrifice, that all that sacrificial animals throughout the Old Testament, all those forming of blood covenant, demonstrated, were pointing to Jesus. And we are so... The people of Israel were the people of God. They had to live through that repeated failure before Jesus came. Have you ever wondered, why didn't Jesus just appear to Adam and Eve straight away and say, here you are, I'm dying on a cross, you're saved? Why didn't he do that? Why did we have to go through all that trouble? It's a good question, isn't it? I'm not saying I've got all the answers to that. It would have saved a lot of heartache. I think that the basic message is it wouldn't have worked. Because they didn't yet believe that they weren't good enough, that they couldn't do it by themselves. If you look at Israel, they were specially chosen, they had prophets of God, they were brought the word of God in the desert, they were given manna, they were the people of God, and yet what happened? They went to other gods. They failed. Humankind had to be given a very visual message, or we would not have learned. There's often criticism of the Bible for the story of Abraham and Isaac. They say, well, it's child abuse. To stick your son on a thing and go to stab him with a knife. Isn't that abuse? Well, he probably wasn't a child anyway, but that's another matter. Firstly, remember, he wasn't sacrificed. But if Abraham had said to Isaac that day, God's love for you is like as if I took you up a mountain and started to sacrifice you and I didn't, we wouldn't have heard about it. We had to be captured by the story to appreciate the sacrifice that God himself was going to make. The father hear me correctly here, don't get worried. The father didn't send his son to die, and his son died. You think, oh, I thought he did. No, the father said to the son, shall we go, because they are one God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God came himself as the son and died on the cross for us as the son. It isn't just Jesus that died and the others got away with it. God himself made the necessary sacrifice that we could be alive. But if he'd done it with Adam and Eve, what he gave them two trees. He gave them paradise. and that didn't work. So why would something else work? It wouldn't have. We had to learn how to handle free will. We had to learn how to make good choices. We had to learn how to make a stand. We had to learn how to hold firmly to the word when everything around us might not be. Anyway, I'll leave that with you. Christ died for our sins. Then he was buried, because he was buried with those sins, which is why we get baptized, to show that all that's on the bottom of the water, that we are washed clean by his sacrifice. And then he was raised from the dead. So why does Paul here talk about all these appearances? Because if Jesus had only died for the resurrection, there still would be no hope. It's only the resurrection that shows that there is a victory over death. That he broke that power of death. What is death? Death is eternal separation from God. And the ability of death to keep you eternally separated is broken through that resurrection. That's why Jesus is a door. The door is open for everyone. God loves the whole world. Whoever believes. That was this group over here, I believe, wasn't it? But you've got to go through it. It's my granddaughter's birthday soon. She's not in the room, is she? Oh, that's her birthday soon. I won't say what her presents are. I think she's probably listening in the creche. But we have got your present, Sam. But when we give her present, if she says it's beautiful, which is highly unlikely, and puts it on the table so that it can be kept nice in that beautiful wrapping paper, she's received the present, but she's not taken hold by grace of what the present is for. Even if she unwraps the present and looks at it and puts that on the table, she still hasn't taken hold of what the gift is for. It's still just an ornament. She's not taken hold of it until she starts playing with that mysterious toy. Then she's using the gift for what it was given, and she'll get the enjoyment and the benefit of playing with that gift. But that is what the gift of Jesus Christ is. Some people don't even bother picking up the present. Others pick Jesus up and put him in the version of a Bible on their bookshelf. Some put a little cross on the wall with a little man hanging on it, and that's their Jesus. I'm not ridiculing that, I'm just giving illustrations. Others say yes to Jesus, they walk through the door, and then live their life in the same way they could have been living it if they'd never met Jesus in the first place. They're not using that freely given gift of forgiveness and joy and peace and strength and healing and everything else that's in salvation for what it was given to them for. And their life starts to fall apart, or, you know, sometimes it goes well for a long time and then falls apart. And they wonder why. It's because you haven't actually taken hold of the gift, which you do by taking hold firmly of the word. Some people even put scriptures on their fridge doors. That's a great thing to do. But if they're on your door and they're not in your life, it's a waste of time. Some people come to church and you think, I'd be rejoicing and celebrating in that. And of course I am, because I think it's the place to be. Obviously the community coming together, encountering God. But if you come here and then you don't live what we have here, you're wasting your time, really. If you don't believe me, let me just read on a little bit more and then I'm finishing. We'll ignore all those other scriptures I gave you, James. Let's see. Yeah, let's go to verse 12 in that 1 Corinthians 15, James. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, which it is here, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? So some were saying that we wouldn't be raised from the dead. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So you thought I said it. Paul said it far more bluntly. If Jesus isn't alive, if Jesus hasn't raised from the dead, this is all a complete and utter waste of time. Go and get drunk. But he did. So it isn't. So let's take the gift and live the gift. Amen? Amen. I'm going to give you one last... I am going to give one more verse, James. Skipping at some of the ones I had here. I just want to say this last one. Because whenever... If you're like me, when someone brings a message like this, you can feel a bit like, oh, more. Anybody feel like that sometimes? More. I've been trying to do this. And it can feel like that, especially if you've been really laying down your life. We talked last week of taking up the cross, you know, and if you've been doing that, it can just feel like, more, what more is there? This is, I have nothing left. I just want to give you this little bit of encouragement from Jesus, just to finish. This is the last bit. Because Peter did the same thing. Jesus is talking again about following him and being his disciples. And it says, then Peter spoke up. We've left everything to follow you. That same question. What do you want? I had a great fishing business, Jesus. I don't have a great fishing business anymore. I'm wandering around following you. What more can you possibly want? I think that was pretty much going on the inside, even if he didn't express it quite as like that. It's interesting because you might think that Jesus would reply quite sternly at that point. And he doesn't at all. He says this. Truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel. So whatever you've given up, sometimes it is costly to our family. Of course, it never really... Well, no, I won't say that. It is costly. Yeah, so sometimes it's costly. Fields... He's talking to the people of that time. For you, it's jobs or security or finance. He said this was going to be an encouraging word, Paul. Yeah, it is. Look, I'll read it again. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. There it is. You thought it was going to say in heaven or eternally. Actually, Jesus does promise. In this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last first. Actually, does come, Alex, in that verse. I say you because I was joking with you about it. Isn't that it? There it is. So sometimes you do feel like, what more do you want? Well, whatever more you give, you will not outgive your Father. Whatever it is, God will give you more. God will give you family. Here they are. God will give you fields. God will give you birthday presents. That's the one whose birthday it is. She's 3. Very soon. I wonder if she heard any of that. Anyway, so be encouraged. You will never outgive God in this present age. But how will that happen? Because you will trust and hold firmly to the word. My Father will provide for me. My Father will give me good things. So be blessed. Amen. Amen. Enjoy your coffee. Enjoy your tea. Have a great week. You're wonderful people.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.